I'm particularly interested to find out about the latest real estate market forecast as it relates to Sonoma County. And for that kind of information, we always go to Mike Kelly from Keller Williams. And you hear Mike on Sunday mornings here on KSRO, and glad to hear him now. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Pat. Before I forget, congratulations on your personality of the year for the Marconi.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Thank you very kindly for that. Yes, it has a lot of fingerprints on it now. At any rate, so there is a new forecast out. What does it mean, and are there any surprises, Mike?
Well, not really many surprises. It's what we've been tracking for months now, is that sales are declining. Our chief economist, Leslie Appleton Young, with the California Association of Realtors, does her annual forecast this time of the year, every year. And I've been seeing it probably for the last 25 years. This is the first time I actually detected some fear in her voice, simply because, you know, she's ticked off all the great, you know, reasons our economy is just in, you know, just superb. But then she said, okay, so where are the buyers? So right now, you know, our buyers are just kind of like disappeared, and we're trying to entice them back into the market. And the biggest issue we have, and she said it, was affordability. You know, right now, Pat, only one in five, you know, can afford to buy a home here in Sonoma County with a median home price of $660. Statewide, it's 26%. In the nation, it's 53%. There's only one county in California that's less, and that is at 62%. So, you know, we're heading, unfortunately, towards a renter state. And, you know, that's going to have, I think, a big detriment to a lot of the, you know, overall economy and just a whole bunch of different factors. So we're really trying to bring buyers back into the market by offering, you know, all sorts of different things, price reductions being one of the biggest, plus, you know, buy down programs, FHA, VA, and all this kind of thing.
So clearly there isn't an you know, influx of buyers ready to plop down cash at over asking prices. That's gone for now.
You know, it's funny because this, you know, this market, there's always those little aberrations where a property hits the market that's just incredible and everybody jumps on it, you know, pretty fast. Our inventory, we only have about 1,000 listings for the entire, you know, county of 500,000 people. So we're very scarce with inventory because people sell houses now, Pat, every 11 and a half years. You know, so it's you know, before people were turning and churning and burning, all that kind of stuff, right? But now it's like every 11 and a half years. So long time between putting homes on the market. And the reason that is because where are they going to go? I mean, a friend of mine has just announced his retirement. I'm down here at the Santa Rosa Chapter Realtor Breakfast, and he's moving to Texas, Lake Conroy, Texas.
What is it about Texas?
Lake Conroy, Texas. He bought a 2,200-square-foot house for $240,000.
Yeah, there's that. Except for the fact that you have to live there.
Yeah, exactly. If Trump's so good about doing tariffs, maybe we should do tariffs from California to Texas or something. You know?
Yeah, a lot of people seem to be going there. But then, Mike, there are even more layers to the Sonoma County real estate market because of the firestorm last year.
Exactly.
And I know we were wondering on the air about whether there would be some kind of land grab after the fires. And of course, all this is based on when people make the decision about whether they're going to rebuild or whether they're going to go. Where do we stand with all that?
Well, right now, I mean, obviously Coffee Park is rocking and rolling, and that's because you had, you know, four or five, six big players go in there and, you know, make, you know, say, okay, here's your square foot cost, here's the model, and you know, this is what it's going to look like. And people said, fine, build it. And it's flat. There's no big issues over there. They all have a lot of the old plans, especially APNF, that they had their stuff ready to rock and roll. They did. But then you get into Fountain Grove, Larkfield, Mark West, going up, you know, where the fire goes over the hill.
Yeah.
Then it's a whole different animal, Pat. And up there, you know, we have a tremendous amount of lots for sale. The ones that are sold, who's going to be the first person who's going to do a spec house amongst all that devastation.
Yeah, it's tough. It's got to be tough.
It's a game of brinkmanship. You know, who's going first? You know, so, and that's, I mean, a friend of mine lost his house, Pat. He had it appraised the week before the fire for $1.2 million. All right, he got a bid, finally came in. He's up in Fountain Grove for $2.2 million.
To rebuild. Wow.
So he's big gulp later. He's gone. So he's going to try to revise his plans. But geez, you know, there's just a whole bunch of issues going on in Fountain Grove. So that's going to take a ways to go. The sales obviously dropped like a stone last October. The $1 million market shot up like crazy with inventory in the 6 months after the fire because people were wanting to replace what they lost. Most of the people in Coffee Park, you know, we had, I think, 30-40% were renters. They were kind of gone, but the rest of the people rebuilt. But in Fountain Grove, a lot of them just said, to heck with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to do this. We're just going to go buy a replacement home. So interesting enough, overall sales are down 25% in the market from last year, but the $1 million sales are up 25%, but down dramatically from August. I mean, August to September, Pat, sales fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
dropped 33%. So this is what we're seeing. All of a sudden, it was just like, boom. You know, and that's the weird thing about real estate that always fascinates me. It will just stop on a dime sometimes.
And, you know, Mike, a couple of questions for you. One question that I've been asked a lot of times since the fires and since we all know that we should be sitting down with our insurance carriers and finding out where we're at, you know, even if we didn't lose our home. And how do we as consumers figure out what it would cost per square foot to rebuild our home so we can figure out what kind of coverage we should have?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of empirical data out there. You can actually go to, you know, talk to, there's so many people out there with walking around with bids that you're kind of getting an idea of what the general per square foot costs are going to be. But if one thing, you know, it's just going to be a lot more than you think it is. You know, and I think a lot of the insurance guys, we met with our insurance carrier and did just that. We went over it and said, okay, because I'm seeing all the square foot costs, and I know in my house it's approximately worth it. I said, I'm going to need this to rebuild it. And he said, yeah, I agree with that. So, but, you know, I think there's a lot of data out there floating around. You know, it's not like we haven't rebuilt anything here in a while. I mean, we're rebuilding like crazy. But, you know, there's a lot of gamesmanship going on too, Pat. Some of these bids, a friend of mine told me he got a bid on his house. He has 6,000 square feet for $1,000 a foot. And he looked at the guy and he goes, $1,000 a foot? And he goes, well, you're taking this to your insurance company, aren't you?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
You got to be kind of careful. You know, I think in Coffee Park they were like, I think $285 to $350 a foot. You know, and I know Christopherson and those guys. But then when you get into custom stuff like Fountain Grove,
that's a different story.
Really, the sky is the limit. I mean, it depends what you want your place to look like. A lot of those were semi-customs or customs. So, you know, it really can get crazy.
And one of the other things I'm curious about, Mike, your thoughts on a year from now. You know, we will have reached that 2-year point where insurance companies stop paying for alternative housing. And wondering if you think there will be a huge movement of probably many kinds in the Sonoma County landscape at that stage.
No, I think there will. I think that some of the insurance costs that are being paid are outrageous, and that's simply because of the way they were designed. If I live in a 5,000 square foot house in Fountain Grove, you owe it to me to put me into a like kind property.
Right.
That may cost $15,000 to $20,000 a month, but that's going to all dry up here.
Yeah.
You know, and I got news for you: the people that are getting that kind of rent, or they're going to be freaking out. But then the people that their insurance company is paying that money for them, and if they are not into their house, then they're going to get a huge rude awakening because you know the insurance companies aren't going to pay it, and they're not going to be able to afford that kind of money. So it's going to be, really interesting.
Another series of layered effects, I think. And
it's just crazy.
Let's get you back on, Mike, before the election and talk about how Prop 10 could affect folks in California. I'm sure the realtors have a particular feeling about it.
Yep, I do.
All right, we'll do that before the 3-week period. Thanks for being on with us this morning, Mike.
You're welcome. Congratulations again.
Thank you very much. Mike Kelly on the air on KSRO every Sunday morning talking about real estate.